Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Nine o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and Cake, today. Buckeye Boy out in Las Vegas at the National Bowling Tournament. He'll be back on Wednesday. It is Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly, and perhaps the good and the sad and the ugly with the passing of our friend and colleague Greg Wenzel on Friday. That had a lot of response on Facebook to that. We appreciate that. And we're going to miss the big guy.
Yeah.
Great sense of humor. Just did an outstanding job in the games he called. We worked with him for 20 plus years. Called a lot of junior college World Series baseball games together. A lot of Mesa and high school stuff together as well. Mentioned that first game ever at first ever high school football state championship game at then Invesco Field, Mile High, when Grand Junction faced Thunder Ridge. We did that game together, and just a lot of wonderful memories. But certainly our hearts are heavy today with the passing of Greg. So anyway, you can text or call in today, 970-242-1340. And coming up, your chance to win with Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. That's on the way in just a few minutes. But right now, high school baseball season underway, the Fanning Memorial Classic this last weekend, and it's time to talk a little Palisade Bulldogs baseball with the head coach, Nate Porter.
Talking Palisade Bulldogs sports on the Jim Davis Show.
And Nate Porter brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Bulldogs going 2-1 at the Fanning Classic. Nate Porter joins us. Nate, thanks for coming on for a few minutes this morning.
Sure thing. Good morning, Jim.
So off to a great start, 2-1. The 16-6 win over Prairie View, and then lost a tough one to Ponderosa 5-2, and then wrapped it up with a 9-2 victory over Palmeridge at the Fanning Memorial Classic. And you've certainly got some guys, some big shoes to replace, most notably Brett Rosman, who hit 43 for you last year, excuse me, 493 for you last year. 26 ribbies, 6 doubles, hit 7 home runs for you. That's a big bat to replace in your lineup. But Kian Kinslow is doing a nice job. Boy, he had a remarkable weekend for your team. Just really impressed with what he was able to do in terms of what he brought to the plate, hitting .636 to start out the season. Kian Kinslow after a great start for you, Nate.
Yep, Kian had a really good weekend, seeing the ball really well, and he's not trying to do too much. He's just trying to get barrel on it. And he did well. He played good defense, too. So we're not even surprised, but just we were feeling pretty good about how he played. And he's put in a lot of work. But, yeah, you know, Brett and Josh and Nick and Riker and Braden, you know, those guys are going to be big shoes to fill. But every team every year is a little different. So we've got a good squad this year. We're pretty excited about them.
And it's some young talent. As I mentioned, with Kian Kinslow, just a sophomore. You also have Talon Larson that's off to a good start, played in all three games. He's hitting .429, got a couple of RBIs. Kinslow had the 6 RBIs. But those two sophomores really helped to kind of lead your bats in the three games at the Fanning.
Yeah, Dylan's he's a good outfielder. He's a good offensive player. And one of the things that he gives us is he's got a speed. He's a really tough kid, football player, but he is really quick, fast. We've got a good nucleus of guys anywhere from, you know, our sophomores, seniors. We just have a good group of guys, and the chemistry is what got me the most excited this year.
When you talk about the chemistry and what excites you, what do you mean by that? What do you like about this group of guys, Nate, and how they've clicked, at least here in the early going?
We don't have any clicks, to use it in another word, but we just don't have a group of guys that are just kind of consolidated from everybody else, which is really normal on high school teams, especially when you have a large group of upperclassmen or middle class or whatever. These guys just get along. We really preach about not shooting your wounded. When a guy's down, you pick him up, and really having a selfless attitude, because we do have some depth this year, and so guys need to be really selfless in order to have a good team and a good run, hopefully in the state. So We've been preaching the team chemistry. We've been teaching being friends, being good peers, being good servant leaders, and so far they've really bought into it, and it's pretty exciting. That's probably what I'm most excited about. It's not just our talent, but the fact that we've got a good team.
Bulldogs baseball coach Nate Porter with us. Palisade off to a 2-1 start after playing in the Fanning Memorial Classic, and another one of those young guys. Though he's kind of seasoned though, because he played a lot for you last year, and that's Hunter Howard Bones hitting 300 right now. Just a sophomore, like Kinslow and also like Larson, but like I said, a guy that got a lot of experience for you last year, Nate, and does kind of provide almost that veteran leadership, if you will, even though he's only a sophomore.
Hunter's probably one of the highest IQ players that I've coached at that age group, you know, as a sophomore. He just knows the game really well. You know, when he's full on locked in, and his mind's only on the game. I don't know if I've coached a player with a higher IQ than him. He's just been around the game a long time with his dad, Aaron, obviously. So yeah, Hunter's the staple at short. He makes the plays, he makes the hard plays, but he also makes the routine plays, and he just seems to get hits when we need him. So he's a lot of fun to coach.
And a guy that's a junior for you, Easton Embry, who also was on the football field for Joe Romano this past season, did a nice job playing in the back half of his defense in that Palisade secondary. But Easton Embry, bit of a slow start offensively right now, but on the bump, he's been really good. For the most part, ERA is a little higher than I'm sure you'd like it to be, but off to a 1-0 start. So you have Easton Embry that's in your mix as far as your rotation goes, but also you have Asher Morby, who also had a good outing this weekend as well. A couple of good arms, a couple upperclassmen guys for you, Nate, to lead the way as far as your starting pitching.
Yeah, Easton had a little bit of a rough game for what his talent level is against Prairie View, but, you know, he gave up 6 runs against a really good team. And, you know, I think he's a phenomenal pitcher, and offensively, we've got several guys that we know are good hitters. They're just getting off to a slow start, which is a little bit expected. Some guys come out of the gate running hard, and some guys need a little bit of time to kind of get the fog or the nervousness out of their belly or whatever you want to call it. And then another kid I want to mention as far as pitching goes is that Garrett Draper.
Yeah, I'm going to get to him, yeah.
Yeah, Garrett. I figured you were. Yeah, Garrett worked really hard in the offseason. I kind of joke around a little bit. When he came to us as a freshman, he was kind of like a baby giraffe. He couldn't really jump rope. And so the first thing I said is, go buy a jump rope. Buy a jump rope, get your feet under you. And he did it. And he's worked hard for the last couple of years. And I think he had the books say 1 walk against Palmer. I didn't think he had any, but if he had 1 walk, I'm happy the fact that he just threw strikes and got ahead early.
Well, no doubt he gave up just the 1 hit, 5 2/3 innings in that game against Palmeridge. You know, he struck out 9. What was working for him Saturday, Nate? Why was he so effective?
He just got ahead early. You know, we have to adjust our book. He threw a complete 6. I know it says 5 2/3, but he threw a complete 6. But he just got ahead early. He got down in the count, I think, twice to 3-0. And he came back and struck one of the kids out on 3-0, climbed the ladder and struck him out. So he was all around the zone. He never missed bad. He had command of, you know, 3 pitches. He just kind of bought into what we talked about the day before, because I think the day before we had 9 walks, and we said, guys, you can't, you know, you only gave up 7 hits, but that's like giving up 16 hits when you have 9 walks. So it doesn't matter how they get on, it's the same as a single. And so he bought into that and just got ahead early and threw strikes. Threw really well.
Nate Porter, coach the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team with us. And then, Nate, coming up on your schedule, you've got Central this week, a rematch of last year's district play when you beat them. And then unfortunately lost to Summit in that second game out at your place. But a little bit of a preview of the future, if you will. This will be your final year in the Western Slope League. And then moving forward next year, Central, Junction, you know, Montrose, Fruit of Monument, all be part of your regular season schedule. But you get Central coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, we're really excited about moving over to Southwest League next year. And we scheduled intentionally this year with Fruta, Junction, Central, Montrose, and Durango to just give us a taste of what it's going to be like. But, you know, Central played an excellent game against Ponderosa. I think they lost 4-1, and Ponderosa is a good team. They can swing it, play good defense. So, you know, there's really no team that I can see that you just show up for. That you better compete because, you know, any team can beat any other team, right, Jim?
Absolutely. As unfortunately you saw last year in the postseason where Summit unfortunately got you guys in the district play. But, yeah, like I said, a rematch with Central, the team you beat last year in that first game. And 6 o'clock for that one over at Saplesio as Palisades scores off against Central in a non-league game, but will be a league game in 2025 for the Palisade Bulldogs, and they join the Southwestern League. Hey, Nate, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for coming on short notice this morning, and we'll see you at the ballpark very, very soon.
All right, thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. Nate Porter, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team, with us in the program this morning. They're off to a great start. Montrose, Landon Wareham, Red Hawks are 3-0 to start things out. And a win against Severance for Montrose. And Severance, a state championship team last year. Our friend, former colleague, Curtis Biedelman's son, Colton, plays on that team.
Nice. So,
but Montrose off to a good start. Palisade off to a good start. And certainly, you know, with Grand Junction, Cy Espinoza, and Casey Sullivan at Fruto Monument, and now Joe Kellerby out at Central. Those programs, the Southwestern League will be, once again, like it always is, it'll be a battle going forward in league play. All right, so text or call us today on the team line, 970-242-1340. Jim, along with Cake today, and your thoughts about Russell Wilson, who will sign a one-year deal to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Got a text from Dylan today. We'll set it up with some music here on the Good, the Bad, the Ugly today. And from Dylan today, the good, Avs, Nuggets, UFC 299, the bad and ugly, Flyers coach John Tortorella throwing a fit on the bench and refusing to be ejected. Also the ugly with South Carolina LSU.
Yeah, that was, oof.
That was pretty ugly.
And I know I was tongue-in-cheek earlier about how, hey,
I know you're
more, but I mean, at some point, and I'm glad Dawn Staley said what she said after the game and apologized and said, sorry, I got ugly, acknowledging that it happened, trying to move on from it. That's, to me, the most important part.
Yeah, look, I appreciate when people acknowledge when the role they play in something that's terrible, and that was terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, it's, I know what you're trying to say, that does it show there's some, I mean, you're not entirely serious about this, but does it show there's some equality now, or I guess that the women take it as seriously as the men do.
That's the trick.
And look, if you watch any women's basketball game or softball game,
it's competitive.
It's, I watched that, the Iowa Nebraska Big Ten championship game yesterday.
Yeah,
the tournament championship game, where Nebraska, give them credit, they had like a 13-point lead in that game. At one point, they had the Hawks down. Iowa fights back. They get it to overtime. And, well, Caitlin Clark wasn't the initial catalyst in overtime. She hits a big three, gets another bucket, gets the foul line. And you could see how bad Iowa wanted it, but also how bad the Huskers, they felt like they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And just the competitive nature. And, of course, LSU, South Carolina, this big rivalry. Couple of outstanding programs in women's basketball. And, of course, LSU, you're defending national champion. And it does speak to that they're the women that play sports want to win, want to succeed every much as their male counterparts do.
Yeah.
They're not just happy to be out there and glad they've got the opportunity. And
no, they want to win.
Isn't it neat that the ladies get to play sports just like the big boys? They take it as seriously and want it as badly as the male counterparts do.
Yeah.
and it's watching the competition's great. And if you, you know, with the Mesa women getting upset by CSU Pueblo, heartbreaking for them.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell it was absolutely heartbreaking for them to lose that game. And so now for the Maverick women, as we segue over to the South Central Regional, for the Maverick women, they ended up getting the 2 seed, by the way, if you're just tuning in this morning. And they'll be the 2 seed and playing 7 seed of Lubbock Christian. Got a little bit of history there with Lubbock Christian. Goes back a ways, though, where they lost to Lubbock Christian in the regional at Brownson, called that game 56-53. So they'll get 7 seed of Lubbock Christian, who I believe that year went on to win the national championship that year.
Sounds right.
And so that'll be Friday at 12:30 in Denton, Texas, because Texas Women's University is the host of the regional. So that will be the matchup. Texas Women will play Colorado School of Mines. And then Regis, they got the 3 seed. They'll play 6-seeded UT Tyler. Adams State is the 5th seed. They'll play 4-seeded Texas Permian Basin. I feel bad for UCCS.
Huh.
They get to the championship game, lose, and then they ended up being with the co-champ, which I think that was just goofy how you had 4 teams tie for a regular season title, basically. Right. And they didn't get in. So for the Maverick men, they're going to Canyon, Texas, after West Texas A&M got the number 1 seed, though should have went to Fort Lewis. Mavericks get the 3 seed. They lost to Fort Lewis in the RMAC tournament title game. CMU will face Eastern New Mexico Saturday at 11 o'clock. Eastern New Mexico having one of the best seasons they've had in recent memory, by the way. They've won 22 games this year. Fort Lewis is the 2nd seed. They'll play 7-seeded Lubbock Christian. Colorado School of Mines, the 5th seed. And they'll play 4-seeded Dallas Baptist. So after the game on Saturday, Paxton Ritchie had the chance to talk with Mike DeGeorge after the Maverick men fell to Fort Lewis in the RMAC tournament title game.
All right, we're here with head coach Mike DeGeorge. Coach, 86-75 final here in the RMAC tournament final to a very good Fort Lewis team you guys have battled with a lot. Just your thoughts on the game, particularly that second half where you guys kept getting close, but not close enough.
Yeah, you know, it's a disappointing effort. I mean, the guys tried really hard. We had that emotional burst at the beginning, and it's just we were too high. And I think that it was hard after that, you know. And so, but you got to give Fort Lewis a lot of credit. They're a great team, and they play better than us tonight. And that's twice they've done it this year on this floor. And, you know, they should host based on the numbers. I'll be shocked if they don't get it, but the same thing happened last year. So hopefully we'll get another shot at them next week.
Coach, just talk about this team so far this season. You know, there's more to come in the NCAA tournament. You guys got around farther in this tournament. You're certainly hoping to go farther in the NCAA tournament as well.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line is the season will be defined in what we do moving forward here in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, we didn't get it done like we wanted to in the regular season, but we got a great team, and we'll get another chance next week.
Coach, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time. We'll send it back up to Jim.
All right. Thank you, Paxton. Appreciate you sending it back to me.
Both who's that Saturday guy yelling in the background? Jeez, yeah, Louise. Interrupting,
it's like,
Paxton.
It's like, pipe down.
Shut up.
Way too excited for Fort Lewis, by the way. That was my criticism of the PA announcer. Way too hyped up for Fort Lewis in the postgame.
We need to have a talk with that guy, whoever's responsible.
Yeah. So when you go into the bathroom and look in the mirror, you might want to have a little chat with him.
See what I can do.
Yeah. Anyway, 86-75. Fort Lewis beating the Mavericks for the 2nd time this season. Trevor Baskin, your RMAC player of the year, had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks in that game. Obi Egbom had a huge game, 33 points.
Yeah, that was something we were talking about. And by the way, for those of you who missed the joke, I was the one doing the PA.
Yeah, you were the one doing PA. He did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you. So talking to the girl who was doing music sitting next to me, we were just kind of having quick chat, and it's like, if you name your kid Obi, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he doesn't live up to expectations, that's on you, parents. But he did great. He had, was it 33 points in that game?
33 points, yeah.
Yeah, and it seemed like, I don't know if from what your angle, how you kind of interpreted it, but it seemed like all the shots, not all, but most of the shots that he took, you're like, there's no way that's going in. It's going in.
Isaac Jessup played his butt off.
Yeah.
And you would, and he just kept, give Agbum credit. He just made tough shot after tough shot after tough shot. I thought Isaac Jessup, most of the game, played defensively about as well as he possibly could. Agbum just kept making shots.
Yeah, that's a freight train right there, trying to stop that.
And, you know, I think, you know, Owen Kuntz didn't probably have his best offensive game. That probably didn't help the Mavericks.
No.
But they got off to that, 12-0 run early on.
Oh, it was great.
And where they had Baskin, you know, got a rebound, long pass down the floor. Reese Johnson, who's not known for dunking it. Reese Johnson with a big dunk in that game. Baskin had a dunk as well. Mavericks defensively were phenomenal to start out that game. But part of the story was the Fort Lewis got to the foul line more than the Mavericks did.
Yeah.
And they really took advantage of that. And their defense also held the Mavericks to a less than stellar shooting percentage as well in that game. But
particularly beyond three, I felt especially.
Yeah, didn't shoot particularly well from three-point range in the game. And so the Mavericks lose at 86-75. But now the regional play begins in Canyon, Texas, coming up on Saturday. 9:21, Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's go ahead and play Colorado Sports Trivia, brought to you by Wrigley Field. They have the 15-minute lunch guarantee if you get your lunch. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. Thank you. Question today is a Rockies question. And it's multiple choice. Who is the only Rocky to hit a home run in his only plate appearance?
Oof.
Jay Gaynor, Jay Hawk Owens, or Daryl Boston?
The only Rocky to hit a homer in their only plate appearance?
In their only plate appearance. Who is the only Rocky to hit a home run in his only plate appearance? Jay Gaynor, Jay Hawk Owens, Daryl Boston. Multiple choice for you today. You win a gift certificate to Wrigley Field on North Avenue. Perfect place to watch the game. Grab lunch, grab dinner. And Thursday's chicken fried steak day, by the way. Oh, and their chicken fried steak is amazing. All right, 9:22. Once again, Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. If you won the last 2 weeks or earlier today, don't play. Who is the only Rocky to hit a home run in his only plate appearance? Jay Gaynor, Jay Hawk Owens, Daryl Boston. You're also up for the Never Ending Contest if you win today to win $5,000 and a new cooler. We're starting to head towards summer, getting a little bit closer, from Haining Home Services. All the details at theteam1340.com. All right. So first correct answer wins today. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And four down territory plus this day in sports history. Heading your way next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
I ain't proud of all the punches that I've thrown in the name of someone I don't know.
Welcome back, 9:26. Jim along with Cake today. Are you trying to get a raise or something? Is this what? Is that why you're fighting everybody that I like?
If you're offering.
I won't say no.
I
can always run it up the flagpole. Others have to sign off on it. It's not just
fair.
Me. If it was just me, you'd get a raise. Buck, I'd get a raise. Y'all get a raise. You get a raise, and you get a raise.
Thanks, Oprah.
I have not a whole lot of control over that.
Fair.
But a little Noah Kahn there. Love Noah Kahn. All right, 9:27. Time to dive into four-down territory this
week. We're into four-down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, so Russell Wilson will sign a one-year deal with the Steelers. And already Kenny Pickett getting a lot of abuse online from Steeler fans.
That, shocker.
Several fans mocked the Pitt alum by posting memes that had had characters with relatively small hands. Every character they showed, and a variety of them, both animated and real, all had little tiny hands. That just doesn't seem right, does
it? No.
Or Kenny Pickett. Is that the reason why he hasn't been good? I don't think that's the reason why he hasn't been as good as they thought he would be. All right, so second down. I'm hoping this is nothing serious, because as off the rails as he can be, I love me some Bill Walton. When he works at Day Pass, you'll love Bill Walton.
Oh, yeah.
But Bill Walton missed ESPN's final Pac-12 games due to health problems. He also, the Throw It Down broadcast was rescheduled, the Monday Throw It Down broadcast, which he's involved with. But ESPN's final broadcast of Pac-12 men's basketball took place Saturday. That's when USC upset number 5 Arizona. And so, but anyway, kind of an end of an era, obviously, for ESPN. But Bill Walton was not there. Dave Pasch was on the call. Sean Farnham joined him. And so there's health issues for Bill Walton. They haven't really got into it. He's also missed some other appearances dating back to in February as well. Wishing nothing but the best.
Absolutely.
For Bill Walton. I just find him a delight.
I love Puff.
I don't know if Dave Pasch always finds him delightful. But I do.
Conference of Champions.
Like the time that I ran into Bob Dylan. We were both cycling through France. Actually, Bob was not. He was in a cart being pulled by a cyclist. And he was smoking a doobie as large as a log. That's the kind of stories that Bill Walton comes up with. Anyway, hopefully Bill Walton's going to be okay. You okay over there?
I'm good.
You wrapping your around about the image of Bob Dylan smoking a doobie the size of a log?
That wouldn't shock me.
Anyway, third and fourth down.
Your Colorado Buffaloes, your 2024 national champions in skiing.
Which they've done a lot over the years.
21 times, to be exact, although this was actually a cool fact. So their head coach is Jana Weinberger. Jana is only the second female head coach to win an NCAA skiing title.
Wow.
So there you go. Congrats, Buffs. Fourth down, the fracas that was the LSU-South Carolina fight at the end or towards the end there. The ESPN crew said that the players who were ejected would be ineligible for the first round of the NCAA tournament. That was wrong. They had to clarify later, like, actually, it's not the players who were ejected, just the ones who were directly involved in the fight, which left only
right.
South Carolina's Camila Cardoza, or Cardoso, excuse me. So, someone either gave them wrong information, or they had just in their heads like, oh, yeah, they're ejected. They can't play for the first round of the tournament. And then just ran with it thinking, yeah, that sounds right. This is a lesson. Always double check before you say something like that because people are going to get confused. And you never can be too careful, you know?
Yeah. Very true. And that's it.
That's it.
So we're still looking. Come on, Pyle. It's multiple choice. It's not that freaking hard. Mark guessed. Thank you, Mark. It's incorrect, but thanks for guessing.
You tried.
Jeez, it's multiple choice, people. I'm laying it out there on a silver platter for you. So yes, I am haranguing you this morning.
We'll give the question again, just to be safe.
Who is the only Rocky to hit a home run in his only plate appearance? Jay Gaynor, Jayhawk Owens, or Daryl Boston?
Their only plate appearance ever.
Hit a home run. Of those three, who did it? Jay Gaynor, Jayhawk Owens, Daryl Boston.
Making the most of your opportunity while you have it.
I'm just saying it's not that hard, people. It's not that hard. Thank good. Sometimes I'm reluctant to do multiple choice because it might be too hard. I thought this one might be a little bit challenging. So I did multiple choice. Get your answer in now. But I'm a reluctant dictator. Once again, I might have moved to a different place on that whole thing. I know, it's an oxymoron. Connor McGehee called me out for that. Yes, it's an oxymoron. That's why I said it.
I think it's great.
Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia. for a gift certificate to Wrigley Field on North Avenue, Grand Junction's original sports bar. Who is the only Rocky to hit a home run in his only plate appearance? It's not like there's 20 here. It's not like the, 27 or 24 quarterbacks that have quarterbacked the Broncos since Elway retired.
Right.
Jay Gaynor, Jayhawk Owens, Darryl Boston. First correct answer wins today. All right, 9:33, and it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, so the Maverick track and field teams competing in the indoor nationals in Pittsburgh, Kansas this last weekend. But did you know the first indoor track meet happened in 1922?
Who?
Cornell wins the first IC4A indoor track meet held at the 2nd Regiment Armory in New York. Also on this day, 1958, Manhattan upsets top-ranked West Virginia 89-84 in the first round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Jack Powers leads the Jaspers with 29 points. Manhattan holds sophomore the logo. Jerry West to 10 points in the Mountaineers' second loss of the season. Also on this day, 1979, St. John's and Penn post two of the biggest upsets in the NCAA tournament in the second round of the East Regional in Raleigh, North Carolina. St. John's, the 40th and last team selected, beats number 2 Duke, 80-78. Penn comes from behind to beat number 1 North Carolina, 72-71. Also on this day, 1991, Steffi Graf's streak of 186 weeks ranked as the number 1 women's tennis player ends as she's replaced by Monica Seles. And in 2009, Mike Singletary, no, not the Bears great, but Mike Singletary, the basketball player, leads Texas Tech to the biggest rally in Big 12 tournament history, scoring all 29 of Texas Tech's points during a second-half surge that pushed the Red Raiders to an 88-83 win over the Aggies. The Red Raiders erase a 21-point deficit. Singletary, who outscored A&M 29-18 to give Tech the lead for the first time, finishes with 43 points. And that's this day in sports history. All right, 9:35, we'll take a break. Some garbage time on the way. Some more of your texts. Russell Wilson heading to Pittsburgh to battle with Kenny Pickett. Little tiny hands for the starting quarterback job. Got some thoughts on that today. Jerry Jeudy getting traded. I haven't seen any negative reaction to that.
Neither have I.
I don't think we will either. I think it was time for that relationship to come to an end. And he goes to Cleveland, and that's a big get for the Broncos in terms of getting additional picks, more money in terms of the cap that helps in that regard. And for Jerry Jeudy, gives him a fresh start. But like I said earlier about Deshaun Watson, the addition of Jerry Jeudy along with already having Amari Cooper there, they're going to get Nick Chubb back. There's no excuses for Watson now. And for the Browns, for him to not be there, the guy that they made the trade for. With all the controversy, everything that went on, he has not lived up to that. And you think Russell Wilson hasn't lived up to what he was getting paid in Denver?
Yeah.
Talk to Browns fans about Deshaun Watson and how that's worked out. They managed to get to the playoffs last year, no thanks to him. Yes, I get it, he was hurt. But at some point, if you're the Browns, your frustration starts to really mount because you sent a lot of draft capital there. It's a huge part of your payroll, and you had to deal with the public outcry and backlash of him going to Cleveland with all of his personal stuff that was going on, the civil lawsuits. So, got some thoughts today. Text or call us. 970-242-1340. Also, depends on who you read. Either Kirk Cousins is on the Broncos' radar or he isn't, depending on who you follow right now. Some are saying Broncos are interested. Others are saying they're not. Will the Broncos have an interest in Justin Fields? What I keep hearing Sean Payton say, Justin Fields, to me, would not be a quarterback he's interested in. Because I don't think he fits what Sean Payton wants in terms of processing a defense, the accuracy.
Age.
Yeah.
More accurately, experience.
I mean, Kirk Cousins screams the perfect guy for Sean Payton right now.
Oh, absolutely. But are you willing to pay him?
Exactly. Are you going to be willing to pay him what he'll probably get on the market? Baker Mayfield, that's off the table. He's going to resign with the Bucks. That became official today. What, 3 years, $100 million?
Yeah.
It was the number on that for Baker. So does it become, it's Jarrett Stidham with a Bo Nix? Does it become that kind of situation where it's young guy or Stidham's the bridge until Bo Nix is ready to take over? What is the solution for the Broncos at the quarterback spot? Do you like the fact they're blowing up this roster? Judy's gone. Simmons is gone. Obviously, Russell Wilson's gone. Do you like what they're doing, tearing it down to the studs? Part of me hates to admit it's probably the right thing to do.
Oh, it's totally the right thing to do. They just won't admit that it's what they're doing.
Tough to admit it, though. Because you feel like, oh, we're so close.
We're just a quarterback away.
And he got the quarterback.
Just a quarterback away.
And
by the way, can I don't know if I've made this point clear or not on prior programs. Can we acknowledge that two things cannot be true at the same time? It's, we were just a quarterback away with this roster. And then next year it's, well, the roster sucked. And that's why the quarterback didn't stop it. Just stop it. It's either we didn't have the roster in the first place, or the quarterback was the problem. And now that we have the benefit of hindsight, it really looks like it was the roster in the first place.
We thought the ceiling was higher than what it is.
Yeah.
We did. We thought ceiling was higher.
Garrett Bowles is getting better. You need a strong left tackle in the league.
Defense is good. Top 10 defense, at least well prior.
All pro safety, all pro corner.
Yeah, prior to this last season, just need a quarterback.
Good receiver, great route running, Jerry Jeudy, great hands, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, an all-around guy.
Greg Dulcich is going to be your, or Albert Okwuegbunam is going to be your all-pro caliber tight end.
Look at the diamond in the rough.
Pro Bowl caliber tight end.
Look at the diamond in the rough they drafted with Quinn Meinerz out of Division III.
Hey, let's just fix the line. Hey, Mike McGlinchey, Ben Powers.
Big guys. Let's
bring them in. Getting McGlinchey to restructure was huge, and
yeah,
he needed to, because you're taking money, Mike. You're taking money out of the Broncos' pockets.
Robbery.
And so there's all these things where if this happens, Denver's a playoff team. All these things that were already in play, existing there, that we thought were better than they actually were.
Yeah.
And then you get Russell Wilson, and the results are only marginally better, slightly better. Snap the losing streak to the Chiefs. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You win 8 games. It's a good thing. But it's still not good enough. It's not enough.
It's bad.
In one of the toughest divisions, which just got a whole lot tougher with Jimmy Harbaugh with big dumb khaki pants coming into the AFC West. Which I also heard Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, they might not be Chargers much longer the way things are starting to sound. That they may be going other places.
Interesting.
All right, a season of change as we start the official league year coming up on Wednesday for the National Football League. All right, 9:42. We'll take a break. We'll come back with garbage time. Still time to offer your thoughts about Russell Wilson going to the Steelers. Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Jim along with Cake, another great one, The Killers, The Man.
Yeah.
All right, so text or call us, 970-242-1340, the team line. All right, so it's time to open up the lid and hop in It's garbage time on this Monday.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Oh, before we get too far down there, do we finally have a winner?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Mark correctly identifying Mr. J. Gaynor as the only Rocky to hit a homer in their only plate appearance as a Rocky.
All right. So it was a little tough, Pyle. I'm not sure why. It was multiple choice. Congratulations, Mark. Well done. Mark's perseverance pays off today. Text from the guru this morning. I'm guessing now Steelers will go offensive line, linebacker, safety, or defensive line in their first three picks. But them putting feelers out for Deontay Johnson, maybe they'll look at Brian Thomas Jr. or Xavier Worthy at two. If there are a lot of very good weapons for Wilson already there, I like Freiermuth at tight end. They have a banner year. Also see Russ around 30 touchdowns, 10 picks, 3,900 yards. I hope he regains his mojo. I think for Russ, I hope that too for Russ. I hope that is the case. All right, so garbage time this morning. You mentioned the LSU and South Carolina brawl yesterday.
Kerfuffle.
Where you had, of course, South Carolina's coach, Dawn Staley, very classy, basically apologizing to fans. And then there's Kim Mulkey. Who looks like she'd either be a realtor from the 80s or the early 90s,
or
she has a job on QVC.
Por qué no los dos?
Selling zirconium encrusted necklaces or something like that. Cubic zirconium. But Kim Mulkey believes the officials called Sunday's SEC tournament title against South Carolina, that the way they called it may have contributed to the mayhem at the end. The fight broke out with Gamecock center Camilla Cardoso and Tigers guard Flonjay Johnson. Johnson pushed guard Ashley Watkins, who was taunting her after Johnson committed a foul that led to Cardoso rushing in and knocking Johnson to the ground as the benches cleared. Postgame, Mulkey pointed to a lack of foul calls in the fourth quarter. She believes that might have led players to think they could get away with more physical play and contributed partly to the fight. Do you realize there was only one foul called on each team with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter? Are you kidding me? That might have created some of that. Not the way we play. We're going to foul your bleep. They're going to foul your bleep. You only blew the whistle one time. Think about that now.
Kim, stop it.
Oh, and she's not done here.
Oh.
Flage, what I saw, intentionally fouled Full Willy because she stripped her. Great move because she's going to get a layup right there. Then some jawing went on with her and another player. The next thing you know, Cardoso just way later. So I ran because somebody came out of the stands. I think it was Flonjay's brother trying to keep him from doing anything crazy.
It was her brother, and he was promptly escorted by security. And there were other idiot fans trying to rush the court, too, during that whole thing.
Yeah. So Mulkey's not done.
Oh?
Oh, there's more here.
Oh, God.
I wish you would have pushed Angel Reese. When you're 6'7", don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion. Let those two girls that were jawing, let them go at it.
Stop it.
How about handle it the way Dawn Staley did?
Right.
Hey.
Sorry, I got ugly.
Two teams that compete, two teams that have a fierce history against each other. Shouldn't have got to that point. We don't need that in college basketball, period. Unacceptable. Got to behave better. Both teams have to do a better job of controlling our emotions.
Agreed.
That was not cool. You know, I just wish you would have pushed Angel Reese.
No.
You're like, as a coach, you don't say that.
No. Stop it.
You might say that back in the locker room if you're not, there's going to be a thing you say publicly and a thing you feel privately.
Exactly.
Let her feel whatever she wants to privately. I don't give a crap. If she wants to say that about Angel Reese, okay, that's her prerogative if she wants to say that behind closed doors.
But
But to say that when you're doing the presser and to blame it on the officials, did they let it get out of hand a little bit? Yeah, they probably. She is right to a point. There is some blame to probably be placed there because it got physical, it got chippy, and it ultimately got really, really nasty and awful.
Mm-hmm.
But to make that the crux of, well, the officials screwed it up and they knew that we were two physical teams are going to be fouling. They screwed that up. And you know what? My players didn't do anything wrong, and I wish my players would have done more.
Deflect, deflect, deflect.
Come on. Come on, Kim Mulkey. Come on, QVC host Kim Mulkey. Come on.
Come on now. Stop it.
Come on, fake tan Kim Mulkey. Come on.
Stop it.
Stop that.
Get help.
Smart lady. Great basketball coach.
Great basketball coach.
She's a great basketball coach. She's a smart lady.
Great.
But no, she is a smart lady because you don't attain the success she has without being smart. But that
this was a dumb...
But that doesn't mean smart people don't do some say some really stupid things and do some really stupid things.
Fair.
And that's what Kim Mulkey did yesterday.
Yeah.
One coach, Don Staley shows class about it. Hey, it's on us. That shouldn't have happened. Well, there's no place for that. Kim Mulkey's like, not our fault. Officials, they screwed that up. They let that happen. Matter of fact, I wish we would have done more. Come on, Kim Mulkey. Come on. You know, I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. So what, you want Angel Reese to be provoked, your player?
Your 1.9 GPA player to be provoked, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a real smart idea.
And so you're gonna shove her. You want her to be shoved so she'll go and do something that you don't want her to do. You want her to be antagonized. You want her to go after somebody. Best player on your team. You want her to get into trouble. To settle a score.
So ridiculous. So ridiculous.
I get it about the size difference, and you want Angel Reese to go in there and play Bob Probert for you, okay? Or Bill Laimbeer. I'll use a more relevant basketball reference. Or Brittany Griner back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go be physical. You want to go knock somebody on their butt. That only makes the problem worse, doesn't make it better.
Agreed.
And what if Reese does that? What if Reese gets ejected? I mean, what if she has to sit out first round of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
First game. Is that worth it to have her go make a point?
No. Yeah, anyway, not good.
What do you got?
Rudy Gobert has been fined $100,000. He got his sixth foul in their game against the Cavs. And when he got fouled out, he flashed the money sign towards the refs. And now it's going to cost him some money. From the NBA Communications, Timberwolves center Rudy Gobert has been fined $100,000 for directing an inappropriate and unprofessional gesture towards a game official and publicly criticizing the officiating. It was announced today by the executive VP, head of basketball operations. Fine takes into account Gobert's past instances of conduct detrimental to the NBA with regard to publicly criticizing the officiating. I would add to that, it should take into account Gobert's past instances of conduct detrimental to the NBA by starting the COVID pandemic.
There you go, Rudy.
Remember when he touched patient all the microphones?
Zero. Rudy Gobert, patient zero.
That's conduct detrimental to the NBA right there.
Rudy Gobert, tremendous defensive player. One-time Denver Nugget. People forget that. He was a one-time Denver Nugget.
Huge knucklehead.
Absolute idiot. Absolute moron.
In the immortal words of Charles Barkley. Oh, wait, hang on.
I'm a dumbass.
That's Rudy Gobert. And that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Jim Rome's up next. Don't forget, Nuggets, Toronto Raptors tonight on the team pregame at 6:30. For Cake, I'm Jim. Back tomorrow morning at 7 on the Team Sports Network.